Hi, this is Nitun here from Bangladesh. You are listening to Everybody ESL. Enjoy.
Welcome to episode 57. Of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I have another good episode for you. We're going to talk about vocabulary and grammar and small talk and a lot more. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found in Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like Everybody ESL, subscribe to it so you never miss a new episode, and leave it a good review. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. If you don't live in the United States, then you probably don't know that this week was the beginning of the baseball season. And even if you do live in the United States, maybe you didn't know that and maybe you don't care. Not everybody cares about baseball. But here's one reason why all English language learners should care at least a little bit about baseball. The reason is, many interesting expressions come from baseball. And so, baseball is the theme for this week's vocabulary. The first thing on our list of words or expressions that come from baseball is home run. Home run. H-O-M-E-R-U-N. A home run in baseball is a huge hit, a big hit. The batter hits the ball all the way over the wall. That is considered a great hit. That's a great thing to do. And when we're not talking about baseball, we can use home run to mean a great success, a great achievement. So you could talk about somebody who, let's say, wrote a book, and maybe this was the first time they had ever tried to write a book. And with their first book, they had a big success. Their book sold many copies, and it was very popular. It was just a very successful book. You could describe that book as a home run. The person who wrote the book had a big success with that project. The next term on our list is strikeout. S-T-R-I-K-E-O-U-T. To strike out means to fail completely. Imagine somebody who is trying to find a job, and they spent all week going from one job interview to the next. And you ask them, well, how did it go? Do you think maybe you might get one of those jobs? And they might say, you know, I think I struck out. Struck out is the past tense of strike out, because struck is the past tense of to strike. So to strike out means to fail completely. How about this one? Right off the bat. Right off the bat. R-I-G-H-T O-F-F T-H-E B-A-T. Right off the bat means immediately. At the very beginning, you could say, I met this person at a party, and right off the bat, I knew that we would become friends. In other words, right away, at the very beginning, as soon as I met this person, I could tell we would become friends. So that's right off the bat. The next one is curveball. C-U-R-V-E-B-A-L-L. In baseball, a curveball is a ball that moves as it travels. It's very hard for a batter to hit that ball. It can seem unpredictable and difficult to handle. And so we refer to any situation or any change in a situation as a curveball if it's unpredictable and hard for us to handle. We're not sure how to deal with it. That is a curveball. For instance, let's say you're at work and your boss gives you an assignment and tells you that the assignment is due in 1 week. And then an hour later, your boss tells you, no, it's not due next week. Actually, I need you to finish by tomorrow morning. You could say, well, the boss gave me an assignment, but then he threw me a real curveball. He changed the deadline, and I'm not sure how I can get all of this work done. That's a curveball, an unexpected development, an unexpected change that is difficult to deal with. The next one is off base. Off base. OFFBASE. If somebody is off base, that means they are mistaken about something. They have misunderstood a situation. Let's say your friend invites you to go out to dinner with her, and you say, tonight? Oh, I don't think I can. And your friend says, oh, do you mean you don't want to go out to dinner with me? Is that what you mean? You could say, no, you're way off base. No, you have misunderstood. I'm just very busy tonight. I would love to go out with you tomorrow instead. So off base means mistaken about some situation. How about this one? A ballpark figure. A ballpark figure. B-A-L-L-P-A-R-K F-I-G-U-R-E. A ballpark figure is an estimate, an approximation. For instance, let's say you need to hire somebody to make some repairs around your house. And you talk to this person on the phone and you describe all of the things that you hope they can fix. And you ask, how much do you think this will cost? And the person says, well, I don't know for sure until I come to your house and see exactly what's going on, but I can give you a ballpark figure. In other words, I can give you an estimate or an approximation. I can give you a ballpark figure. I think it will cost around $500. That's a ballpark figure, an estimate. The next one is heavy hitter. Heavy hitter, H-E-A-V-Y-H-I-T-T-E-R. A heavy hitter is a powerful or influential person. And you can easily see how this might come from baseball. Imagine somebody who is very big and very strong and who can hit the ball very hard. That person is a heavy hitter, the same as a powerful or an influential person. And the last item on our list of expressions that come from baseball is rain check. Rain check. R-A-I-N-C-H-E-C-K. A rain check is a promise to do something later. If you have to put something off or postpone it, do it later, but you want to make sure that the other person knows you will do it. You'll do it later, but you will do it. You can ask for a rain check. Your friend asks you to go out to the movies, and you say, I can't go out to the movies now. I have too much work to do. Can I take a rain check? That means, can I put it off and do it later with you? Is that all right? So a rain check is a promise to do something later instead of now. Now, all of these terms come from baseball, and they're all pretty common. And even people who don't like baseball, even people who don't know anything about baseball, use many of these terms all the time. And I think you should learn them too, even if you don't know anything about baseball. For this episode's small talk topic, I actually want to give you a tip. Instead of telling you a good way to navigate or handle a certain social situation, I want to give you some advice about making small talk. Now, this applies mostly if you're making small talk with strangers, if you're making small talk with somebody you don't know very well. It could be somebody in your workplace, or it could be somebody at your bus stop. If it's somebody you don't know well, my recommendation, my advice, is for you to avoid certain topics. And these are the topics I think you should probably avoid. There are three of them. The first one is religion. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking about religion, talking about your own religion, or asking somebody else about theirs. But it can get a little bit awkward if you talk about religion with a stranger. Many people in the United States can get pretty uncomfortable if the topic of religion comes up in a social situation where they don't know the other person well. So my advice is avoid the topic of religion. The second topic I think you should avoid in small talk is politics. Now, it's one thing if you say something very general about politics, like, I'm glad the election is coming soon, or did you happen to see the speeches on TV last night? Those are probably okay, but conversations about politics can easily become heated. In other words, they can easily become too emotional. People can get upset or angry. So if you don't know about somebody's political opinions, or if you don't know the person very well, it's probably best to just ignore that whole topic. And the third topic that I think you should avoid if you're talking with somebody you don't know well, if you're just passing the time and making small talk or making chit-chat, the third topic to avoid is money. You do not want to ask somebody how much money they make. You probably don't want to talk about how much money you make. You probably don't want to say anything that might make somebody feel uncomfortable or awkward or embarrassed or bad about their financial situation. So those are the big three topics that can be uncomfortable or awkward or can lead to anger or hurt feelings. Religion, politics, and money. I think just about everything else is okay as a topic for small talk, but I think it's a good idea if you avoid those big three topics when making small talk with somebody you don't know very well. The topic for this episode's grammar lesson is the modal must. Do you remember what a modal is? Modals are those words like can, should, will, may, might, and must. I think our lesson about must will actually be in two parts. We will have the first part right now and the second part in a future episode. How do you use must? What does must mean? Must has to do with necessity. It has to do with things that need to happen or need to be a certain way. They have to do with obligation, things that you need to do. When you think of must, you should think of need. Here's an example of a sentence that uses the modal must. If you want to be safe when you ride in a car, you must wear a seatbelt. In other words, you need to wear a seatbelt. It is a requirement that you wear a seatbelt. Now, there's another modal that is very similar to must, and that is have to, H-A-V-E-T-O. If you want to be safe when you ride in a car, you must wear a seatbelt, or if you want to be safe when you ride in a car, you have to wear a seatbelt. These mean exactly the same thing. Must and have to mean the very same thing. There is one small difference between the two, and that is that have to is much more common in speech and in casual English. I don't think I use the word must in conversation ever. Well, maybe I do, but I can tell you that have to is much more common. It just sounds more conversational, and more natural. If you are writing something, well, maybe in that case, must will sound just fine. But usually in regular conversation, I think you should use have to instead of must. Here are some examples of other sentences that use must or have to. This song is so good, you must listen to it. Or, this song is so good, you have to listen to it. In other words, I think this song is so good, it is necessary for you to listen to it. It is a requirement that you listen to it. You have no choice. You must listen to it, or you have to listen to it. Here's another example. Visitors to the United States must have a passport. Or, visitors to the United States have to have a passport. In other words, if you are a visitor to the United States, it is a requirement that you have a passport. You need to have a passport. It is necessary that you have a passport. And here's one last example. If you visit the Seattle area, you must take a trip to the San Juan Islands. Or, if you visit the Seattle area, you have to take a trip to the San Juan Islands. In other words, the San Juan Islands are so great, it is necessary that you go take a trip and see them. It is a requirement. I'm telling you that you need to do it. Now, there's another kind of sentence that uses must or have to, and it does have to do with necessity, but it's a different kind of necessity. Let me give you an example, and maybe you will be able to figure out what I'm talking about. Imagine that your doorbell rings, and you get up, and you answer the door, and there is your friend standing in front of your door, and your friend is soaking wet. Your friend's clothes are wet. Your friend's hair is wet. There's water dripping all over the place. And you say, oh, it must be raining. Or, oh, I guess it has to be raining. What you mean here is that it is logically necessary. It could not be any other way. The only explanation for your friend being all wet and dripping all over the place is, well, I guess it needs to be raining. This is a slightly different kind of necessity or requirement. It's not somebody demanding that something be a certain way. Nobody is demanding that it rain, but it is a logical necessity. It's the only explanation or the only answer that makes any sense. It's the only thing that could be true. And so even in this case, even in this kind of necessity or necessary truth, we use must or have to. Well, that's all I'm going to say about must and have to in this episode. But in a future episode, we're going to return to this because there's still a little bit more to say and a little bit more to learn about must and have to.
And now, it's time for the joke of the week!
That's right, it's time for the joke of the week. And again, because this week marked the beginning of the baseball season here in the United States, this week's joke will be about baseball. Okay, here it is. What animal is the best at playing baseball? What animal is the best at playing baseball? Do you have any ideas about that? What animal is best at playing baseball? Okay, well, let's just get to the answer. What animal is best at playing baseball? A bat. Do you get it? Do you get why that's a joke? Well, like many of these jokes, the reason why it's funny, or the reason why it's supposed to be funny, is because the answer has more than one meaning. One meaning of bat is a kind of animal, a small mammal with wings that flies, a bat. They come out at night, they make high-pitched sounds, and they fly around eating insects. But there's another meaning of the word bat, and that's a meaning that has to do with baseball, because a bat is the big stick that baseball players use to try to hit the ball. So what kind of animal is best at playing baseball? A bat. Right? A bat? Kind of? A little bit funny? I don't know. I think it's okay. It's not the best joke in the world, but I think it's good enough to be the joke of the week, because the jokes of the week aren't usually very funny anyway. It's quiz time. It's the time of the podcast where I like to give some kind of quiz. And lately, I've been giving listening quizzes, and here's how it works. I'm going to read four sentences, two times each, and I'm going to read them pretty quickly. I'm going to read them at a natural conversational speed. And it might be difficult for you to hear every word clearly. But after I read each sentence two times quickly, I will read each one much more slowly, and I will make sure that you understand everything, and I will explain any unusual vocabulary or interesting grammar that comes up. Okay, are you ready? Well, here is sentence number one. I'm going to ask my boss for a raise, but I'm afraid I might strike out. I'm going to ask my boss for a raise, but I'm afraid I might strike out. And here is sentence number two. When the conversation turned to politics, the teacher felt uncomfortable. When the conversation turned to politics, the teacher felt uncomfortable. And here is sentence number three. And remember, you can go back and listen to these sentences as many times as you like, as you try to understand each word. Okay, here is sentence number three. Those shoes are cute. You have to tell me where you bought them. Those shoes are cute. You have to tell me where you bought them. And here is sentence number four. Thanks for inviting me to the party, but I think I need to get a rain check. Thanks for inviting me to the party, but I think I need to get a rain check. Okay, so that is all four sentences read very quickly, at a quick, natural, conversational speed. And now, let's read each one much more slowly. Here is sentence number one more slowly. I'm going to ask my boss for a raise, but I'm afraid I might strike out. I'm, that's short for I am, I apostrophe M, I'm going to ask my boss for a raise, but I'm afraid I might strike out. In other words, I'm afraid I might fail. I'm afraid I might not get that raise that I want. Sentence number two. When the conversation turned to politics, the teacher felt uncomfortable. When the conversation turned to politics, in other words, when the topic of the conversation changed to politics, when the conversation turned to politics, the teacher felt uncomfortable. Sentence number three. Those shoes are cute. You have to tell me where you bought them. Those shoes are cute. You have to tell me where you bought them. And sentence number four. Thanks for inviting me to the party, but I think I need to get a rain check. Thanks for inviting me to the party, but I think I need to get a rain check. In other words, I can't come to your party, but please invite me to the next one. I promise I do want to come to the next one. I just can't come to this one. Okay, well, that is this episode's listening quiz. How did you do? And we've reached the end of episode 57 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions about English, or comments, or suggestions about the podcast, or if you would like to record the introduction to a future episode the same way you heard Neetoon's introduction at the beginning of this episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.